Well, y'all ready to get started? Amen. Let's just go ahead and open up in prayer. And I would ask you, we're going to open up in a prayer, but we're going to open up in eternity, in the eternal word. We're going to pray God's word. You know, Isaiah 40, it says in there, I think it's in verse 8, it says, the grass will wither and the flower will fade. And it's talking about man and his humanity and his glory. You know, I don't have the glory. This body's not in the glory, so to speak, as far as physical strength that it used to be. But we declare that we have wisdom like we've never had. Amen. So the grass will wither and the flower will fade, but the word of our God endures or stands or is established or is foundationed forever. It's eternal. Okay, so the greatest prayers that you can ever have, if you want to see results, pray eternal. Pray God's word. Amen. See, because God's at a guarantee. It says in three accounts of the gospel, heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of our God stands forever. So I need help today. Amen. Father, give us a heart that will receive. Give us a mouth that will speak. So I challenge you to turn over in your Bibles that we're going to pray God's word. Turn over to Romans chapter 3. No, don't turn over to Romans chapter 3. Turn over to Romans chapter 10, verse 11 and 12 and 13. And we're going to go ahead and establish right here. This is the latter end of what we call Romans Road of Salvation, okay? Romans 3:23, 6:23, 5, 8, 10, 9, and 10, down through 10, 11, 12, and 13, okay? That's what we establish as the body of Christ, some of the salvation scriptures, okay? That is a requirement for salvation. In other words, does your heart align up in truth with what those scriptures say? So let's open up, and you're going to see how important that these three scriptures have always been as we take a journey. Now, I want y'all, we're going to cover a lot of scriptures. If you ever heard me just speak, I cover a lot of scriptures, okay? I'm a word guy. And Father, we just come to you, and we're going to pray Romans chapter 10, verse 11. Father, we thank you, we praise you. Father, I ask you to free up me, Lord. Free up me, let me walk out, Father. Let me walk out in your way, your will, your want, and your word, Father, for your word is established. For Father, this day, this time, this place was established before the foundation of time. I declare up over all of us in here right now that this is our here and this is our now. Amen. This is our here and this is our now. Father, have your way, Lord. Amen. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. And Father, we declare that you must increase and we must decrease. Father, we come to you with a heavenly perspective. We come to you with an eternal perspective. And now we speak the eternal in verse 11. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Verse 12, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Verse 13, for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. All right, let's turn in. Let's go back to Exodus. We're going to go to Exodus. And today, the workshop that I am going to be speaking on is the first commandment. Okay? And we see that in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Okay? Verse 7. We also see it in Exodus 20, verse 3. Now, as you're turning over to Exodus chapter 20, verse 2-3 there, I want to just tell you a little bit about Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 5, and it would be verse 7. 5 is the number of grace. 7 is perfection, completion. Now, if you look on that, and I'm really learned, or after, you know, for the past 3 years, the more I study the Bible, I start looking at my numbers. Now, I'm not a number. I'm not a crazy number guy, okay? Yeah. I don't get crazy with numbers, but numbers are definitely in God's plan. Okay, so we look at Exodus chapter 20. 20 is the number of redemption. Amen? So in the verse today in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, let me turn over there. 3 is the number of the Godhead, completion, perfection, okay, fulfillment. So Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to start right at verse 1 and work right down to the verse that we're looking at today. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. In verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. Wow. You shall have no other gods before me. Man, I want you to think about that a little bit. As we just soak right there on that scripture, as we're seeing this and we're as letting his word, you shall have no other gods before me. I'm not going to really get into that verse yet. I'm going to go to the beginning. Remember, we opened up in a prayer that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, we're talking about God's people here in Exodus chapter 20, right? The house of Israel. Let's look, turn back in our Bibles a little bit, and let's look at a situation where it all led up to this, okay? The Lord was just leading me this way. Let's go to Exodus chapter 2, verse 23 and 25. Exodus chapter 2. I've got to find a way to set my stuff up here. Thank you, Jesus. And I want us to have a good time. How many know that the Lord wants to have you to have a good time in studying his word and digging in? Because let me tell you something, if you're distressed, if you're hungry, if you're tired, you can't learn God's word. You got enough opposition against you anyway, and that opposition is your flesh. That flesh don't go to heaven, folks. Flesh is like bondage. You might as well say your flesh is your bondage. Remember, Jesus died for you. He bought you. He got you plumb out of the way. You have no ownership of yourself. He took care of this flesh thing. But if I try to take ownership back into it, that's when we get into trouble. That's when we come back as a prisoner. That's when we go back into the house of bondage. So let's look. Everything that God did, and I'm going to give you some nuggets here. Everything that God did here for the house of Israel, Jesus did in today's time. Everything that God did led to where Jesus came in. You know, in Hebrews 1, Hebrews 1, verses 1, 2, and 3, it talks about in times past, verse 1 of Hebrews 1, 1, God spoke through the apostles, the prophets, the fathers, the prophets, but in this time has spoken through Christ Jesus. Amen. Then it would work right down there, and it would talk about Jesus in verse 3. It would say, oh, Shilobo, thank you, Jesus. Him being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. When he by himself had purged us from our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. You're talking about Jesus. So everything that was going on with the house of Israel, we see where Christ has done the same thing. I'm telling you, the message has not changed. All right. Exodus chapter 2. Man, I'm giving y'all this, and y'all are in there faster than I am. Exodus chapter 2, verse 23 and 25. And we're going to look and see how we got up to those Ten Commandments, okay? Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of their bondage. You all remember how we started the prayer? Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What made God moved? When his people cried out. Come on now. If you ever get to where you can't cry out, you're in trouble. Amen? Verse 24. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. Amen? Remember blind Bartimaeus, the blind guy and his buddy? You know, here comes Jesus. They hear about Jesus. What, man, what's going on? You know, the crowd's going on. This is Jesus. Here comes this blind man, and he starts hollowing out, right? Let me tell you something. Don't ever quit crying. Amen? Don't ever stop calling upon the name of the Lord. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? Amen. All right, let's look and see right here. Exodus chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 1 through 8. Then we're going to go through 9 through 14. All right. So we're going to set up a foundation here of what's leading us here today in this study. Now Moses was tending, Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. Somebody help me with that word. Midian. And he led the flock back of the desert, to the back of the desert, and came to, what is that, Horeb, the Mount of God. I'm having trouble seeing right here. No, you're good. Now I can see. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of the fire, mist of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, and the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he had turned to look, God called to him in the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said to him, here I am. Has anybody ever heard the Lord call out their name? If you do, and you will, here I am. Here I am. Okay? All right, verse 5. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off, for this place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the Lord your God, your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and Moses, and his face, okay, and Moses hid his face, and he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen, man, I tell you what, I'm having problems reading. Thank you, Lord. Y'all pray for me real quick. I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. No matter what situation we're in, the Lord knows our situation. And he will not close his ears upon it. I can't stress this enough. Call upon the name of the Lord. Okay, in verse 8. So I have come down. Now get this. So the Lord heard their cries, right? He knew the mindset. He knew the situation of their infliction. And then we look at verse 8, and this is monumental. Monumental. 8 means new beginnings. Now, I want you to catch this. 8 means new beginnings. Look at it right here. So I have come down. This is God speaking. He didn't send somebody else. He came. Now, who came to die for my sins? Everything that God did with the house of Israel, Jesus did with all of mankind. Everything points to Christ. Everything from Christ always pointed back to God. Okay, look at it right here. Verse 8. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivatites, and the Jebusites. Amen? Verse 9. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression which the Egyptians oppressed them. Now, catch it right here in that verse. God always hears, and he always sees. Amen. How many have ever thought besides me? Now, I'll take the blame for every one of us, which I don't have to. How many forget and have to consciously remind myself that God sees and hears where I'm at? And I'll be honest with you, and I'm going to say this publicly. For the past, I want to say almost 3 years, sometimes I believe God has forgotten me through some of the afflictions. But it's a lie from hell. Amen. Amen? Is that fair enough? He always sees and hears our cry. Amen? All right, where are we at? Verse 10. Am I at verse 10? All right, verse 10. Come now, therefore I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So here God just told him, says, I'm going to send you, Moses, to deliver the people out of a mess. Now look at the response. Let me tell you something. I'm looking at God sent people here today. I'm telling you. And what was the first thing that came out of Moses' mouth? Let's look at verse 11. Verse 11 says that, you want to hear Mark a little bit? I want to hear some of y'all. Okay, verse 11. Now you know why we're coming back to here. Verse 11, but Pete said to God, he's my prayer partner. We talk to one another. We're accountable to one another. We have our days. Do you have your days? I guarantee you one thing, if you're not having your days, you're not having days for God. All right, verse 11. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Now get this, verse 12, monumental. It's government. In other words, it's an established 12 means government. And I want you to look what God says right here in verse 12. So he said, I will certainly be with you. Look at the government scripture right there. Then go up to the new beginnings on 8 that we just read and said, so I have come down to deliver the people. God's fixing to do this himself. No, God's not looking for a golden vessel. Catherine Kuhlman said this all the time. He's not looking for a golden vessel. He's just looking for a yielded vessel. He's looking for you. He's looking for this hard-headed man. Amen? Amen. The bottom line, that's it. All right, verse 12. So he said, we want to read it again. I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. I mean, how crazy a language is that? Get this. Verse 12 again. So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. Look at here. If God sends you, you're going to know it. And let me tell you something, if he brings you to it, he's going to get you through it. Amen? He's going to give and reestablish in you what you need to know that you're on the right track. Amen? All right, look right here. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Verse 13, we're going to 14. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I have come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Then verse 14, this is where it's established. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, this you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And let me tell you right now, each one of you, I am has sent you to do a job. You say, well, Mark, I don't know if he's ever sent me. Let me tell you something. It's already established in the eternal word of God that he has sent you for such a time as this. Let me tell you something. God don't waste resources. He ain't like us. He don't allow leaky faucets. He don't allow throwed out food. Looky here. You have been sent. Bottom line, he's already sent you. And Father, I'm going to release this word. Father, I release the divine appointments upon them now. It is established in their books, Lord, in their personal books, Father. For you know the thoughts that you have for them, Lord. The thoughts, Father, that are more numerous than the grains of sand. Father, you say you have thoughts to prosper us, not to harm us. Give us a hope and expected end. Father, the thoughts that you have for each one in here are more numerous than the grains of sand. Psalms 139. And what's in the heart proceeds out of the mouth. As the heart thinks, so is he. So God's already spoke everything over you guys. He's already spoke every bit of this. He's already spoke every bit of this. Amen? All right. Let's see. I'm going to go back to the foundation scripture. Then I'm going to give you all a little bit of things I put together here. Exodus 20, verse 2. He said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Were you guys one of the ones that was caught up in your sins and trespasses and bondage and affliction? And you were brought out of darkness into his marvelous light. See how it all, what was done in Exodus still applies today? Same message. I am who I am. That would be in Exodus 3:14. We just read it, right? The fact it begins with, help me out on this, the first Hebrew letter is Aleph, right? Okay. The first letter of the Hebrew alphabet is indicative of the future tense. Looking to Jesus. Think about it. Therefore, this name can be translated, now get this, it's just rocked my socks off. When we're talking about I am who I am, when Moses asked a legitimate question, who shall I tell the people that's going to be following me has sent me? God said, I am who I am. This can be translated, I will be who I will be. Ooh, God. I will be who I will be. I will be who I will be. This should give us a confidence and encouragement so that we can understand that God is not only with us right now, he goes ahead of us into our future, which may be unknown to us. But is completely known to God. You know, the things that is, that I've encountered in the past few years were totally unknown to me, but they didn't surprise God. Amen. Same with your life. You know, we could sit down and start having one-on-one, and there's areas in that. If we took it like, I've been having to go to the doctor a lot, and they've been doing a lot of EKGs and all, and they'll see glitches when you have your heart graph and all that stuff. There was glitches on there that you and I never dreamed would happen. But see, they weren't unknown to God. Amen? He goes ahead of us into our future, which may be unknown to us, but is completely known by Him. He is faithful and will be whatever we need. Now, I want you to listen to that statement. He will be whatever you need. Why? I will be who I will be. Not only now, but also in any such situation that we face in the future. God is saying, I will be whatever I choose to be in the circumstances. Healer, deliverer, provider, protector, I will be that for you. Now think about the statement again. I will be who I will be. Let me tell you a strong encounter in my life. I was young growing up in East Tennessee. My dad had an electrical business. We didn't have nothing. My dad worked very hard. We didn't have nothing. And my dad was sick a lot, and he worked so very hard. And I thank God that my dad worked hard. I really do, because all of our family have been hard workers. You know, I've never been the smartest or sharpest tool in the bucket, but I would outdo them for endurance. How about that? And I thank God for being able to work hard. It's a blessing. And I was with my dad. I was approximately 16. And we were putting a 400-amp service on a house in East Tennessee. And the guy owned the car dealership down on the main drag of the house. It would be like Washington Road. It would be like, who used to own that, the Chevrolet place over there? What was the name of it? Milton Rubin. It would be like, you know, that guy, his name was Looney, Bob Looney. It would be like going to Milton Rubin's house. Man, well, if we can, you ought to have seen his, if we could just start doing Bob Looney's work, man, think about it. And boy, he was praying and going on. And we got out there and he gave him a price and they said, go ahead and do it. And my dad was working. And I was probably about 15 or 16 years old. Dad was putting up, back in the old days, they'd make you put up these big pipes up the side of the building and all this. Dad was struggling, and I was trying to help him, and I heard my dad, I seen him cry. He said, if we just had a chain wrench, we didn't have nothing. All we had to work with was us. Bending conduit, all we had was trees and dipsy dumpsters or trucks or something to try to bend it with. And Edgar will tell you, I've got every tool known to man to bend pipe and work with. God has blessed me. Amen. But I seen my poor daddy. He said, if we just had a chain wrench, we could tighten that up. And I don't know what come over me. I said, Daddy, I'm going to look for one. And I didn't even know what it was. A chain wrench is a wrench that's got a chain hanging off the end of it. And you just wrap it around whatever you're doing, slot it down in adjustment, and you tighten it up. The little old nickel and dime and half hind-end tools we had wouldn't even go around the pipe. He said, and he was crying, he was weeping. He said, if I just had a chain wrench, we could get this done. And he'd pray, that was our breakthrough. I said, Daddy, I'm going to go hunt one. I run out, and I'm running, I go out to the pool, and there laid a chain wrench. I picked it up, I said, Daddy, is this this? And he went, God, take it. I will be who I will be. See, that's the God. See, he was a chain wrench. God can be a chain wrench. He can be that notebook pad, whatever it is that you need him to be. I will be who I will be. Let him be God in our lives. Amen. And then we look at that verse, and when we say, we march right over to where we know Christ, and Philippians 4:13 would say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No weapon for on down the line. I want you to think about that. And I just want us to stop. And let me tell you something. I'm going to honor God because I've struggled enough. Lord, be who you will be in our lives right now, Lord. Father, whatever that need may be, walk in and turn into it. I don't give a rat's eye in how you do it, Lord. But you can do it. Be who you will be. Be our need provider. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Y'all just bear with me. You see how God became that chain wrench? Man, there ain't no rich man going to have no chain wrench sitting out by a pool. Are you telling me that pool was worth more than every house in that community I lived in? That name, in its essence, the name conveys a sense of both timeliness, boy, that was perfect time, wasn't it? And timelessness of God, the God who was and is to come, Revelations 4:8. Some translations would read, I am Jehovah, your Elohim, I am the eternal, your creator, Lord, master. I proclaim Jesus is Lord. Amen. Amen. Whew, thank you. All right, I want you to, let's turn over to Psalm 16. Well, you're turning over there. This might be a little out of the way, but I'm going to do it. I don't know. I pray for a sister and an aunt right now. I pray for an aunt right now, Lord God. I bless her. Don't know what's going on with her, but Father, whatever she needs, whatever that sister needs, whatever that aunt needs, Father, come to that position. Yes, Lord. Amen. All right, let's look at Psalm 16. Is everybody there? Verse 1, Psalm 16, verse 1. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. Wow, I want you to just look at this. It's just for a minute. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, my goodness is nothing apart from you. As far as the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom all my delight. In whom all is my delight, in all of his delight is in you, is in me. That's that word God right there is Jehovah. Is Jehovah. Then at verse 4, it goes right back to the passage. And I'm going to go back Exodus 20, verse 3. And we're going to break down verse 3 just a little bit. But I'm going to give you a sort of little forewarning right here in verse 4. Let's look at in Psalm 16, 4, it says, their sorrows. He just got through talking about how we are so the heart of God, okay? Let's just read verse 3 again. And the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Then he goes in verse 4 and he says, their sorrows shall be multiplied when they hasten after another God. Wow. And let me share you with you right there how I take that. Going right to the text right here, I'm going to refer right back to it. You shall have no other gods before me. Notice God has just delivered the house of Israel. Jesus has died on the cross, and I've accepted him, Lord and Savior. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, what? All things have become new. In other words, he's took me out of the bondage, out of the house of bondage of sin and death. He's took me out of the house of flesh. Basically, in other words, flesh no longer controls me. Flesh is enmity with the spirit, right? Those who are controlled by the flesh result in flesh things. Those who are led of the spirit are the sons of God. Romans. So let's look at verse 20. Excuse me, Exodus 20, verse 3. In keeping our finger on Psalm 16, 4 right there, God right there, you shall have no other gods before me. God right there is anything that has power. What do you make powerful in your life, Mark? I'm not going to call out y'all's name. What do you give it power to? Some big league baseball players, they'll put a little string on their foot. Somebody will give them something to put in their pocket, and they go up and hit a home run. Man, I'm going to have that little coin in my pocket tomorrow. In other words, they start giving it power. What do you give power? Oh, I'm going to do this a certain way. Anything is a god that you give it power to. Let me tell you something. I could have a god idol down here, and I could give it power, and I tell you who is the biggest god in our lives. Me. Gods. You shall have no other gods before me. Plural of majesty, plural in form, but singular in meaning, with a focus on great power. Only any person characterized by greatness or power. And I'm going to tell you about when I talked about how we give power to things. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? The Bible would go on to say in the Gospels, if you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, and you speak unto that mountain, be ye removed, or be ye moved, and cast into sea, so it shall be. That's in the Gospels. In other words, if you have faith that something's going to take place, there's power released there. Now, that's what we, being Christians, I would say is divine or good faith. Okay? Do you know that the occult works the same way? Hello? They have faith. When they put a hex, jex, or jinx on you, they have a faith that it's going to come to them because they're taking a substance. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of yet not seen. I had a person tell me one time that tire was not going to come off. They were having problems, and that tire was not going to come off that rim. And they looked, and I know it ain't going to. They had faith on it. You know what the end result was? 4 hours later, taking a grinder and cutting the whole wheel off. You tell me that faith don't work both ways. Getting back to the point, What has power? What you put your faith in. How big will God be in your life? As much faith as you have. This faith thing is real. What did Jesus tell the disciples when they prayed for the guy's son, and said, "Hey, he comes to the boss. He comes to Jesus and said, 'Hey, your disciples prayed for my boy and nothing happened, right?'" And he went to the disciple and said, "Master, what's going on? I can see it like it. What's going on?" He said, "This comes with much prayer and fasting." In other words, time alone, getting to know God, knowing what he's going to do, right? So faith works the same way. So where do we get in trouble? Where do we get in trouble? They were delivered. They seen mighty acts of God. Look at here. I'm a new creation. Spirit of God indwells in me. Now, how do I get in trouble? When I basically tell God, "I got this thing, boss. Let me get back over here." And I'm actually put myself back in a place of bondage. And if you studied it real deep and it kept leading me, I ain't going to go there. It's a cage. It's a cage. It's a prison. See, the flesh is this body is a vessel. Okay? But it can always also be a prison. Amen? All right, let's look at the scripture again. "You shall have no other gods before me." All right, that word "before me," if you look at it, you get a combination of "other" and "before me." It would be before my face. God's saying, "You shall have no other gods before my face," in my presence. It's not that you take and set things in front of God and say, "Well, I know they're bigger than you." Look at here. And the people say, "Well, I wonder why God don't come down and do something." God is quite comfortable. He's not like Mark that has to prove himself sometime. He's quite comfortable knowing he's God. He's not, "Egert, you know I'm big boss now. You all know who I am." See, that's not like God. He's quite comfortable right like this. And he laughs at the enemy. See, he doesn't have to prove himself the way I think I might have to at times. See, and he's basically saying, "Put no other God before my face, in my presence, around me. I do not need an addition to." That's what that word means. I don't need no help. Go back to 16. Now get this. Go back to keep you found right there. "Preserve me, O God. In you I put my trust." Now here's the man's soulish part. A lot of times, and I'm not saying that is in this text, but soul a lot of times would be mind, will, and emotion. And notice what he says in verse 2. "O my soul, you have said to the Lord, 'You are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you.'" So he knows he's nothing without God. But let me tell you something. You are nothing without God. God being 100%, you being a zero. And I'm going to tell you why you're zero. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, we're going to show you. So you take God being 100%, and then you take me, what I'm supposed to be, a zero, that I'm not my own. I'm his, I was bought with a price. In other words, I give all authority over to Christ. That's why in Romans, when we said it, we profess him as Lord. Look at here. And if you study the word trust, you would be prostrate out, trusting the Lord. And the master could cut your head off. The symbol or the definition of trust, that word, would be laid out and let him do with you whatever you're going to do. In other words, you're a zero. But when Mark rises back up, I take 100 and put 100 at their rose. God says, "Go for it, big boy. See how long you last." Their sorrows will be multiplied who hasten after another God. In other words, I've made myself another God. In other words, Jesus, big boy's got this thing. those who hasten after another God will be much sorrowed. Y'all seeing that? Y'all seeing that? Get ready, Jack, because you're fixing to get your fanny fried. I'm telling you, it's going to get tough. It's going to get tough. It don't take about but one dose of dealing with the devil to you start throwing out all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, help me. You know, and here's the thing about it. We're going to stop right there just for a second. I want you to think about driving down the interstate and running off the road. Everybody's done that. I call Russ up. I call Pete. Hey, Russ, man, car run me off the road. No problem, brother. I'm there. We're back on the highway of life. 2 hours. We might flip it on the interstate. 8 hours. Pete's giving me his car. I've got a brand new one sitting in the driveway. God's got me a brand new truck. Edgar's there for me. All y'all are there for me. No matter. I'm back on the highway of life. You know where we get in trouble? When we see the bright lights and we exit off on our own wheel. When you go off, Mark, off the interstate, oh man, look at that sign. I think I'm going to go in there. Much sorrow is to those who hasten after another God. And you got God in you. I got this, Jesus. Big boy's got this thing. He's saying, don't put no gods in front of me. No addition to me. I don't need nothing. So, you shall have no other gods before me. And if you notice, this is the number one commandment. If you get this one right, all the others fall in line. The Bible says, if we honor God, we'll honor men. In other words, if I have a heavenly perspective, in other words, keeping my eyes on heaven at all times and not on me. How many are guilty of saying this? John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. For the longest time, I was looking inward. I'd always say, man, I got to decrease. It ain't going to work that way. If you're looking at you and you're crying out for you to decrease, you've got it all messed up. It won't work. You've got to keep your eyes on Jesus. What did Peter? I'm not knocking Peter. Peter took his eyes off Jesus. What did he do? He went under. He started looking at the natural, letting the flesh, letting his mind will come. Boy, them some big old waves. Look at that, you know. Okay, getting back to this. God 100%, and I come and stay a zero and go in underneath, throw a line on it and a plus mark, 100 plus zero, what do you have? You got 100. You're nothing without him, but now get this. You're everything with him. Notice that God said from the very beginning, he said, I'm going to come down and be your rescue. In verse 8 of Exodus 3, remember? He said, I'm coming down myself. Amen. I said, great, Scott. He said, Moses said, well, how am I going to do it? Don't worry, pal, I got it. Mark, I got it. Just be a zero. All right, let's look at, turn in your Bibles over to Colossians 2, chapter 2. So, that word before, you shall have no other gods before me. That's where he said, face to face. I refuse to have any other God in my presence. I don't need to have any other power, any presence of any God in addition to me. And when we lean back to our own understanding, what does it say in Proverbs 3? Trust in the Lord. Notice it says, preserve me, O Lord, for I trust in you. Proverbs 3 would say, trust in the Lord, lean not to your own flesh, Mark, your own thinking, all your will and all your emotion. Trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will what? He will direct your path. When I get in charge, please, Lord, help us. That's all I can tell you. You can fill in your blanks, but we're going to be in a mess. Because, see, what I've done, I've set up an idol. And notice, too, everything that I give power to, I give it the authority in my life. Everything that I do in front of people or my kids, I give my approval. If you're, you know, slip, and I'm not, you know, Lord, I'm going to be the last to throw a knife at you. But when I do something, I'm telling my children, my wife, my friends, my ministers, I'm saying it's okay. Amen. Okay, let's look at Colossians 2. Let me catch up. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Everybody have any problems remembering that? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Georgia Electric Power Company. Colossians. Colossians 2. Let's look at 8 and 10. Okay? Georgia Electric Power Company. Okay? All right, let's look at Colossians 2, verse 8 through 10. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. The world wants to dictate your thinking. You will be what you expose yourself to, Mark. Anybody in here? Okay? If you absorb a lot of the world, you're going to be in that tradition. You're going to be in that mindset. That's basically what he's saying. Into tradition. Philosophy. That would be this. That philosophy would probably come back to what? You'd see the guy, where's he at? And he's doing the thinking. Mm-hmm. Remember they call him the thinker? Yeah. In other words, let me tell you something. Thinking is a dangerous place. Okay. Well, what does it talk about? An idle mind? Is the word devil's who? What? Yeah. Man, I can get into some thinking and it gets dangerous. Okay? So we want to, the Bible's warning us there. Now, the reason I'm going over this is what's going to make you a God and that will bring you into the presence of the one that says, no, you can't do this. I don't need addition to. In other words, you took God being 100% and you added you. He's not going to do nothing, but he's going to let you fight those battles. And you're going to get your hind end kicked. Okay? Okay, verse 9. Let's go over 10, 8 again. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. And this world is governed by the little G-O-D of it. All right, verse 9. For in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and power. All right, verse 11. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. When you go back in the flesh, you put yourself in a prison. You went right back in the house of bondage again, because this body will die. You start fleshly thinking. Verse 12. We were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. Paul says it, if Christ hadn't been raised from the dead, Mark would have no hope. You would have no hope. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you of all trespasses. Wow. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. All right, let's go to Colossians 3 real quickly. We're going to zoom down through this. Colossians 3. See, if we do not keep the blood, this is something I say over myself all the time. The word of God is my blood. I say that continually. Because if I don't keep his blood flowing in me, let me tell you something, you're going to see me stand before God and say, look here, Jack Jr., I got this thing. I'm going to tell you. So the word of God is my blood. Blood is what rejuvenates you. Blood is what gives you life to your body. Without the what? Without blood flow, life cannot be sustained. It will not be. There's nothing in existence that's living that doesn't have a form of blood. As far as like an animal or whatever, or a creature, there's got to be an essence that's related to blood. It might be like a clear liquid, whatever, but it's the blood. Okay? All right. Colossians 3. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. That's the word of God. It's eternal. Where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth or beneath. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then also you will appear with him in glory. What's Colossians 1:27 say? Christ in you, the hope of God's glory. Is that what it says? Is that what 27 says? Yeah. Christ in you, the hope of God's glory. Okay, they're in here, and I know we got to wrap it up. I had a little bit more, but I get to going. It's just so good. I just can't quit. But I want to share this with you real quickly. 1 Peter 2, and it's something we take for granted. But let me tell you something. I'm not going to ever take it for granted anymore. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. This is who we are. And as a lot of this conference has tried to, you know, and that's one thing I always appreciate about Point to Hope. They always let you know who you are according to the Word of God. Okay? They always give you encouragement no matter where you're at. It don't matter where you're at right now. It matters who you are. Okay? So 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you, in the commandments, 9 of the commandments started out with you. And if you chase that word down you back over there, it would come over to a thou. And if you chase it, they'll keep leading you. And that thou will come back in some senses. I'm not going to say I can prove that you, but it kept coming back. It came back to prison and cage. Man. So if we want to revert back to who we used to be, you're locking yourself back in prison. But if we know who we are in Christ through what Christ made us, we're his own special people that may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness, out of the prison, and out of the cage in his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from the fleshy lust which war against the soul. Amen? And Micah 6:8 right here. I think Nancy had this the other day when she brought it up on one of her PowerPoints. But he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. 1 Corinthians 6:19. This is your key right here. 6:19 and 20. I want you to hold on to this. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Not with a price, but at a price. In other words, that price, God bankrupt heaven. Oh my God. He bankrupt heaven for me. God up there, he said, well, Mark's down there. This is what I'm going to do. I'm all in. He sent his only begotten son. God bankrupt heaven for me. That's why it's a requirement that you confess Jesus as Lord. You don't honor the Son and the Father. You don't honor the Son by what the Father did. Let me tell you something. You don't get no glory. For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And I'm gonna stop right there. The mandate, and this is what we disciple our guys in right here, is the mandate of Christian living. It's Philippians 2. Have the same mind, the mind that was also in Christ Jesus, let that be of you. Let's just go there real quick. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill, this is Jesus, the Holy Spirit, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of, come up here, Edgar. Yes, Lord, thank you for my brother. Being of one accord, one mind. Come up here, Pete and Russ, please. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition. Thank you, Lord. Or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each others, but each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Now, I want everybody to get up and get a well, they stay there. I'm just stay there. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. 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 Thank you, guys. Thank you for paying this workshop.